is October 13th, 2017. You're looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 7.3.1 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. I am here with a presumably as groggy as me, Allison Futter. I stayed up, we're coming to you on Friday morning. I stayed up and watched the end of what was nearly a 6-hour baseball. almost a 5-hour baseball game that went 9 innings last night. That Cubs Nationals game. We'll get into that in a moment. But first off, Allison, we're here to preview the ALCS. Are you in Houston? How's everybody? Is everybody excited?
Yeah, well, I'm in Houston. I think everybody's a little shocked. They had a workout yesterday, and that was presumably not part of the plan. It was opening at home, so the Astros are pretty excited about that, and the Astros fans are excited to get 4 games instead of 3. I think the Astros are scrambling to get ready for game one being on Friday, not game three on Monday, but it's all good.
Yeah, so that is what we're here to preview, the Astros and the Yankees. And for me, you know, the Astros, it's funny how the Astros, they ran into some troubles in the Red Sox series, but they just after the Nationals Cubs series and after the Yankees Indians series, it just feels like they breezed compared to those kind of crazy series. I'm curious, did you get a sense, you've been around the Astros a lot? Obviously, you know, the Indians felt like one of the favorites, and they get to open at home now, so that's a better situation. But are there things about the Yankees that scare them or scare you specifically about that team when you look at them?
You know, I think that the concern is, they're just like the two best offenses in the American League, right? Yeah. So I don't know how that will translate into a postseason series. But I think that the Astros are very aware that the Yankees have a lineup that, you know, that can do a lot of damage. And the fact that they've done that with Aaron Judge, like basically not showing up in October, is a little bit disconcerting just because you're like, well, if he breaks out of this slump, you know, if he gets it together, then there could be some issues. It's really interesting to see how kind of going through some of the research on how pitchers have been approaching Aaron Judge in October, and he's seeing a lot fewer fastballs than he did in the regular season, like 30% compared to over 50% in the regular season. And so like the old mantra that, you know, I remember John Smoltz saying it many moons ago when the Braves beat the Astros for the umpteenth time in the postseason, like you don't let the best guys beat you in October. If you're going to get beat, it's going to be by the guy that's not supposed to. You see that so much. I mean, we saw Michael A. Taylor with the Nats, even though it didn't work out for them, but yeah, so Aaron Judge, I mean, you just wonder, like, if he's going to start, you know, kind of being able to make adjustments and being able to hit some of the other stuff that they throw at him, then the Yankees could be very, very dangerous, much more dangerous than they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty good in that series without him. He was really just a big problem, right, in the lineup. I think it was 1-for-20 with 16 strikeouts. That's pretty easy to take care of that guy. But yeah, Gregorius clearly stepped up for them. Sanchez and Bird has been a nice little guy for them. But it's funny when you look, I knew the Astros did scored a lot of runs in that series against the Red Sox, but I didn't quite realize, like, I know OPS is kind of a weird thing to do in a 5-game series, but they had 5 guys, Altuve, Gurriel, Springer, Beltran, who batted fewer times, Gattis and Correa, who are all 963 OPS or higher. Like, they just knocked the ball around. And of course, that's been the thing. This is not like a surprise. It's not like guys just getting hot. The Astros have a ton of really good hitters. And for me, when I look at this series, it looks to me like the rotation looks a little better for the Astros, just a little. The lineup looks a little bit more better. More better? That's time. I'm a professional maker of words. it looks a little better than the Yankees rotation. But I think the Astros, their bullpen's been a big thing this season. It still feels like the Yankees bullpen is a big advantage for them just because they have, like, you really only need those 4 guys, all of which have been great. But I have to say, the Yankees starting rotation doesn't look so good to me, even if Severino gets going, that they can stop this offense. This offense is smoking right now. And it's not just that they're hot. They have a bunch of really good hitters and they're hitting really well.
Yeah, no, the Yankees rotation does not really scare me at all. especially since, you know, they're just keeping going. Nobody's really able to get any rest. But I'm like, I'm now to the point where I'm like, okay, well, how much does the starting pitching really factor into any of this postseason? And I'm being a little facetious. I mean, I think that the Astros have a huge advantage by starting with Keuchel and Verlander. And I think that they actually might be able to pitch like 5 or 6 innings and actually look like a starting pitcher and playing in a major league game, even though we haven't seen that a whole lot. But no, I mean, I think that, you know, my philosophy, and I think I'm still going to hold on to that for a little while longer, is that it does come down to bullpens and defense and some key hits here and there. And I think that the Astros have the weakest bullpen of the team starting the playoffs in the American League. And so that could be an issue. Tanaka, who's starting in game one, has had almost no success. Yes, so they've just really knocked by 59 with 5 homers and 9 RBIs against them in small sample size. But just the Astros' offense is relentless, so it's just going to be a matter of hold the opposition down.
Yeah, it's funny because you talked about how starters are all just kind of confusing, and you're totally right, because it's, you know, we're so used to, and we talked about this in some of the old previews, the division series previews, how I tend to overrate starting pitching, and I tend to think like, wow, that team's got a great starting pitcher, that gives them a huge advantage. That has never seemed dumber than this year. That has never seemed like a more silly way to look at this than this year. The idea that, you know, you've got Scherzer pitching out of the bullpen. You've got the craziness of what the Astros had with Verlander, which for me, whatever your thoughts about that move, I think one thing we can all agree is if they use Verlander in the bullpen again, he'll start an inning rather than come in the middle of an inning. I think that if anything, that might have been the thing that's strange. But it seems odd to like almost look, you're right, to like look at the starting pitching matchups, because they're going to get so scrambled after game 2 or 3 or even game 1 anyway, that I feel like just focusing on the starting pitching, even though it does look to me like if you've got Keuchel and Verlander 1-2, that's pretty solid. It's still like it almost doesn't matter, because we could see the way things are going, we could see Keuchel throw 4 innings and Verlander throw 3 in game 1. That's probably not going to happen, but it's the sort of ridiculousness you almost have to kind of get ready for this postseason.
Yeah, and it's kind of a bummer. It's interesting on some levels, and then it gets so far away from anything that we've ever known with anything that has to do with baseball. It's making these games extremely long, which I think is not good. But I think that there's a lot of like little. First of all, we say Keuchel Verlander, and that's great. Brad Peacock is not a guy who can really get through a third time in the order. Lance McCullers Jr. pitched really well out of the bullpen in Boston. And I think that was kind of a test. And I think that perhaps he could come back and pitch, maybe start a game. So that's something to keep an eye on. Colin McHugh is going to most likely be put onto the roster. That hasn't happened yet, but it looks like that might be how they're leaning. I think that in a 7-game series, like you kind of have to be, you have to go back to being a little more traditional than you were in a 5-game series where it's like anything goes. I think in a 7-game series, you actually need to set up some kind of rotation. And so I don't think that we're going to see a key starter come in the middle of a game in a, you know, quote unquote desperation move. I called the Verlander appearance in Boston. I wondered if not so much a desperation move, but maybe greedy in a game that they didn't have to win. And then when it backfires on you, it just leaves you with that, like, it's like a gut punch. I was watching Max Scherzer last night. I'm like, this is horrific. it just sucks. And I don't know. I guess it is. It gives us a lot to talk about. I just as a baseball traditionalist, as somebody who's getting up there in years, I don't know. It kind of bothers me a little bit.
For the record, I do not think you're getting up there in years.
I am.
Just to be very clear about that. Yeah. But I do understand what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying. But, you know, it's just different. To me, I don't really mind the lack of traditionalism. Like, that's fine. I think baseball should be dynamic and they should try new things and do different things. I just am a little tired of games ending at 12:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
And go 9 innings. Like, that is – like, I get it. I get why they're doing it. And particularly a decisive game 5 like that. They obviously are going to pull at every stop. But yeah, I mean, like, not for nothing. I think I don't remember who did the tweet this morning, but someone pointed out that, you know what, they need to do is they need to start these games later so kids can catch the end of them when they wake up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just as an aside, really quickly, like my cousin lives in Washington. She's got two young sons. They love baseball. One of them is completely obsessed. I sent them their little Nationals playoff t-shirts to kick off October. She posted a little video when the Nationals won the game. They had a day game, and she posted a little video of the last out, and they're screaming and jumping. And I mean, it was like bang, time for bed. Like right when that last out was made, like they had to go to bed. She let him stay up. And I just like, it just puts a little hole in your heart. It's like, they just are going to grow up like loving baseball and really never experiencing postseason baseball in any real way until they're in high school at the earliest. And it just bums me out, man.
I feel like there's just a small group of people. I know we're getting sidetracked a little bit, but there really are a small group of people that can actually stay up and do this. The Venn diagram of people that can watch all these games are people at the game. And even if they were going to the next innings, that Nationals game, they wouldn't have been able to get home. So there's that idea, which is a different topic. You have people at the game. You have young people. You have professionals like us that work and therefore are kind of required, poor us, to sit and stay up and watch these games. But otherwise, older people aren't going to stay up. Younger people can't stay up. It is. And I get it. Like, it's not Joe Madden's responsibility to make sure that baseball gets a bunch of people to watch games. He's just trying to win a game, but it does feel pretty insane, I will say. Okay, so we should go into the Astros-Yankees series. For me, the guy I am most excited for, people talk about Judge, but it really is Altuve. It really, you know, it's funny. I was doing some research on Altuve. I forgot, you of course didn't forget this, but I forgot that his first 3 years were all 100 lost seasons. I always forget that Altuve, for all this young talent of Correa and Bergman and Springer and all these guys, Altuve was there before all of them. He was there on those horrible teams. He is playing as well as anyone to have a 3-homer game in the ALDS. He's a guy I'm really excited to see have. Like, he's one of my favorite people to watch play baseball. And to me, he almost kind of represents kind of the greatness of baseball. People act like, well, he's small. Yeah, but he's an incredible athlete. Like, the idea that he's not this incredible athlete, he's obviously great. But, like, to me, what he represents, the determination and the kind of the ability and the constant improvement, to see him on this big stage, he's a guy I really, really want to see do well.
Yeah, no, I think everybody's waiting for that. I mean, look, he hit 3 home runs in the first division series game. And to me, that was such a, just as somebody who's followed Houston baseball as long as I have, it was such a representative of what the Astros are now as compared to what they were back in the day, which was a bunch of like superstar guys that hit 200 in the postseason. Dallas Keuchel said it yesterday. We've heard it from Astros players over the years. They've never seen ever that kind of hand-eye coordination ever in any player. It's something you can't teach. It's just in you. You're born that way. And so it does not matter. First of all, he's strong. I mean, it doesn't matter how tall he is. He is strong. He is fit. He takes impeccable care of himself. And he just has a timing that we can't possibly wrap our minds around. AJ Hinch says, or maybe it was Dallas Keuchel said, the difference between Altuve and other great hitters is if you throw him a fastball that he can hit, he doesn't miss. There are times when other hitters are going to not, you know, you'll see him get really frustrated. Damn, that was the pitch. That was the pitch. He doesn't miss those ever. So yeah, it's great fun watching him. I think that he could end up, when it's all said and done, as one of the best second basemen ever. I think that's what we're watching. You know, 3 batting titles, 4 straight 200 hit seasons. I mean, this is not a fluke, and it's really fun to see him on the national stage.
Yeah, and power. Like, it's just crazy. Yep. Like, he just does everything. So yeah, I love him, and it does feel like this could be his like moment. Like, it really feels like this could be what that was all building to. Okay, so you're there, you've been in Houston, you know this team as well as anyone. I do think the Yankees are, it's very disconcerting to have the Yankees be kind of likable. Like,
right.
I find this team pretty fun, I have to say. I find them an enjoyable team to cheer for. I think you've seen it in the Yankee Stadium crowds. I covered most of their postseason in 2009, 2010, 2011, and 12 for New York Magazine. I was the Yankee Stadium for all those games. And it got loud, obviously. They won the World Series at home in one of those games. But it, like, their games this postseason have felt more like those Pirates postseason games, where it's just like a raucous, wild, exciting thing. And For me, that's kind of a fun, that's a thing. That's a different thing for the Yankees. This feels like a new players, kind of a new atmosphere. I think that that Judge's Chambers thing has like added a little personality. Like there's just a different kind of vibe around the Yankees than we've seen even around good Yankees teams from the past. So I'm very curious to see how these things kind of come across for two teams that, frankly, I'm really excited that either one of these teams is going to be in the World Series because they're both super fun to watch. So you're there. We should probably get to it. Give me your prediction for this series.
You know, gosh, I think Astros in six. I think that it's going to go six or seven. So we'll go. Last night I was like, I am done predicting. I am done. I had the Indians and Nationals in the World Series. I'm done. I am over this. I'm stupid. But here we go. So, we'll go Astros in six.
I will not take this self-denigration, Allison Futter. Are you calling yourself stupid and older on this podcast? You are neither. I am taking, for the record, I went 3-for-4 in the first series, but got the Astros series so wrong that I feel like that should knock a couple of off. I am not going to make that mistake again. I am picking the Astros in seven. Astros in six actually does sound about right, but I can see that Yankee Stadium crowd getting pretty hot, particularly if the Yankees can sneak out one of these first two. So I am picking Astros in seven, but we are both picking, Allison, can you believe that? We are both picking the Houston Astros to go to the World Series.
Yeah. No, I think that they're – I just think they're a better team than the Yankees. That doesn't mean a whole lot as we saw. I mean, the Cleveland Indians are a better team than everybody except maybe the Dodgers, but I think that they were the best team in baseball. So it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to have the best week. But I, on paper, looking at, you know, just from position to position and just overall, the Astros are a better team. Now, whether or not they win this thing, who knows?
All right. So that is our ALCS preview. We'll be back a little bit later today with our NLCS preview. As always, subscribe to us on iTunes or because you'll be able to just get that NLCS preview, which is going to come a little later. But we're actually just going to do it as soon as we finish this podcast. So, all right, that we both have Astros winning. We'll see you a little bit later with the NLCS podcast.